So when did you first learn you were nominated for North Carolina's award in literature, and was it a surprise for you?
A very long time ago, Margaret Bauer, who is the wonderful editor of North Carolina Literary Review, told me that she was going to, and then I heard nothing for a very, very long time, and so pretty much fell off my radar. And then on a Monday morning a few weeks ago, I get a call from Susie Hamilton, and Mondays are usually the day when all the dumping stuff from the weekend falls on your desk and you're digging out, and that was a great Monday.
I bet.
That was a Monday that just sent me floating with that phone call, and I was very happy to get it.
In the North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources press release, it says you have, quote, enriched the lives of North Carolinians through your lasting achievements in the arts, end quote. So do you have a particular achievement that stands out in your career, one that you're most proud of?
Well, I mean, I've been a busy guy, but one of the things that I'm very proud of is that the MFA program at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, that's something that I had a very big hand in starting at the very beginning. I did the feasibility study, wrote the documents, argued it in Chapel Hill, and ultimately worked with the chancellor and the dean and the provost and the graduate dean to get it in place. And it has been a joy to live in that universe and watch so many young, talented writers come through and watch the light bulbs just go off in big ways, and then watch their books and stories and poems come out the other end and watch them take up the life of the writer in a serious way. It's just really, really gratifying. The other thing, I guess, would be working here in Wilmington to get an arts council up and running finally after all those years of hiatus. And that was a long process with a number of dedicated people. We took, I think, almost 4 years in the process to meet and talk to city and county and liaise with the North Carolina Arts Council, and in the end get something that I think every community absolutely has to have, and we have a wonderful one now.
That's excellent. And two, you know, what about your piece of writing? Is that just too hard to pin down, or do you feel your labor of love is Cape Fear Rising or your recent Civil War book? Or
well, the writer always loves the book that he or she is working on at the moment, or the last book if you're in between books, and I think that's probably true. But it is interesting. This is the 25th anniversary of Cape Fear Rising, and they singled that book out among the 13 books and all the scripts and stories and essays I've written over the years. And I think there's a reason for that. I mean, it has never gone out of print. It's in a new edition. It has, I think, had an effect on the community. It had certainly caused a backlash against me and the book, but ultimately I think it was an agent of kind of ripping the wound open and maybe starting a healing process, which other people have carried on in really magnificent ways. So I feel proud to have been, a small part of that.
Okay. And what does this award mean to you, earning it? You know, what do you have certain feelings about when you get up and accept it on Saturday that you're going to feel?
Well, I'll probably be very nervous, and I'll probably trip over myself walking over to shake the governor's hand. When you put your head down and just work every day at any profession, I'm radio the same way, I'm sure, but certainly writing and teaching, it's hard to think of a cumulative effect. You don't sort of look back and say, oh, well, look how far I've come. You're always looking forward, looking at the next project. So it is actually very gratifying that there are peers out there in the state that found me worthy of this and are recognizing all that long career. I've been at UNCW now over 30 years. I've been writing for far longer than that. And to have it summed up and to say, yes, we're gonna honor you, I am just tremendously honored and humbled by that.
Yeah, and that springboards to my next question. You know, what are you working on now, and any new goals that you'd like to tackle in the coming years?
Well, I kind of got myself into a fix with when I did the Civil War series for Our State Magazine. I've since done two more for the 1940s and the 1950s, and now we're tackling the 1960s, and sort of one blends into the other. So it's kind of ongoing, almost writing a small novel every month to that. But I'm also working on a real novel that actually came out of some of the research I did for a piece on the 1940s. So I'm writing a novel about the Fontana Dam. Highest dam east of the Rockies was built in 3 years. It would probably be a 25 or 30-year project these days if they could build it at all. And they literally established a town. They established a concrete plant. They built railroads and roads to get to the site way, way out in the middle of nowhere. And so the story is about the people. It's really a love story, but the dam is the backdrop for it.
Wow. So what really grabbed you about that story was that it was such a large project that got up so soon, and you couldn't imagine potentially that happening in the 21st century? Or what grabbed you about that?
The Fontana Dam project is a great stage of action because literally nothing was there but a little tiny lumber town you know, with a few people in and a couple of dilapidated buildings, and they came in and made it the third largest city in Western North Carolina in about 3 months. And they brought in people from 46 states. There were white people working alongside African Americans. There were Cherokees working there. Just this gigantic war effort. Everything was fast and furious, working 24 hours a day. And at the same time, it was environmentally extremely damaging in certain respects. And almost worse than that, to build the dam, they displaced a number of small farmers. And they didn't give them much choice. I mean, it was the war. They were going to take their land or pay them a fairly paltry sum for it. And those wounds are still open out in that part of the world. So my book takes a man who lost his farm and ends up working on the dam, which actually was the case for many, because the TVA was about the only work left if you didn't have your farm, and his daughter, and they become the main characters in the story.
Is the dam still there?
Oh, the dam is very much there.
Wow.
It's daunting to walk across the dam. It is so, so tall and so narrow. And when you learn the fact that because of wartime shortages of steel, there was almost no steel in the dam compared to what they normally would have used. And you think of all that concrete that's been there for, 60, 75, 80 years. And you're thinking, concrete does not last forever. You know, so it makes you kind of wonder. But it's actually a very beautiful dam, especially when you see it from the downstream side. As so many of those engineering marvels were, it was sort of a colossal, kind of monstrous work of art.
Wow. And to go back to the award, do you have any thoughts about being honored with certain co-recipients of the award?
Well, Reverend Barber is one of my heroes. I think it was Teddy Roosevelt that said, courage is the primary virtue because it makes all the other virtues possible. And I think when I think of Reverend Barber, I think of a profile in true courage, standing up for what he believes in, standing up in public, standing up in ways that are damaging, that are hard on your health, that are hard on your standing, that are hard on your life and your finances. And yet he, week after week with the Moral Mondays, and that's just a small part of what he's done in his career. So he's truly a giant, as far as I'm concerned, in civil rights. And it would be an honor to be, on the same stage as he is.
Okay, so last point, if it's a starting, aspiring writer, what would you say to them about going through their career and what kind of advice would you give to that person?
For a starting writer, I think ignorance is your friend because ignorance means if you're curious to satisfy that ignorance, then you have a drive to find out about the world. And so my advice is go through the world with your eyes and your ears wide open, pay attention to things, be where you are every moment you're there. Get your face up out of the screen from time to time and really appreciate that. And do things that are interesting. Don't fall into the familiar patterns that are easy and you know how to do them. You do them over and over again. That's one way to live, but it gets boring after about 20 years. So look for new challenges. Look for ways to take what you have and build on it and do something new and exciting with it. And always, always, always think about, at the end of every day, have I made the world a little better for somebody? Have I done something that increases that little, quota of good in the world? And that includes giving back to your profession, giving back to your peers, and of course your family and friends, but it means living a little bit larger with a view toward the community that you're in. And what it takes for all of us to succeed is for everyone else to be there supporting us. I mean, I certainly had not only great teachers, but I had great friends. I have my wife, Jill. I've got fellow writers that I rely on. I've got people that are my peers at the university, great editors, and I have great students who always push me to reexamine what I think I know for sure, stop myself from being complacent, to reexamine from time to time what I value and why, and make sure I'm pretty clear on why. So that sense of outward living, of being aware you're in a community, I think is really important.
Great. Any other lasting words about the award that you'd want to share with our audience or anything else that you'd really want to tell us?
I'm very grateful to be honored this way, and I'm quite aware with a state like this just how many really deserving writers there are out there who've done amazing things for the state, for each other, for the community. And so I feel like in a way I'm representing all of those. When I'll be up there, I'll be thinking about that. And I'll also be thinking that it's a glorious thing to be in a state where they will publicly honor an artist and a writer and a public servant on stage. I think that's a wonderful thing.
Well, thank you, Philip Gerard, and we're so proud of you.
Oh, it's been my great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.